Hi everyone, welcome to my podcast. So one thing that has continued to fascinate me while learning about Russia is just how singular it is in global history. To me, no other entity exhibits the emergent nature of a state more than Russia, from its vast sprawl to its huge linguistic and cultural diversity and how it maintained this structure for such a long period of time. I mean, like, how did they keep it together? It's just so complex and simultaneously fun and frustrating to wrap my mind around. I wanted to use this project on the 1892 cholera epidemic to try and get at a slice of what has allowed the empire to be cohesive, its river systems. In particular, I wanted to explore the relationship between river travel and the cholera epidemic, and what that could teach me about connectedness in Russia. Critically, when I use the word connectedness, I intend to invoke both its conventional definition and its stricter mathematical definition. I believe these two meanings can provide both a useful lens for understanding the geographical links between cities and offer a path towards a more formal understanding of history. In his book, Clemmow already provides a map of the 1892 cholera epidemic, along with a lot of details describing cases, deaths, and mortality rates by province. However, for the purposes of telling the story of cholera and Russia's rivers visually, I used Clemmow's data to make a more modern map. This is a more modern map in the sense that it uses ArcGIS to visualize more dimensions of data. Inspired by a National Geographic map on Ebola, I used two concentric circles to express cases, deaths, and their respective magnitude. I also colored all the rivers so that they would be more visible. I think these maps visually reinforce how cholera spread along the Volga and the nearby Don, now connected to each other in the modern day. As described by Clemmow, the river's role in spreading the disease was twofold. It allowed for easy movement of humans between Russian population centers, and the water itself spread the pathogen as it filled with excrement and infected clothing. Thus, the connectivity that these rivers provided, the Volga in particular, went both ways, building civilization and destroying human lives. In The Volga, A History, Janet Hartley describes the extent of the Volga's connectedness. The Volga, together with its tributaries, was the key artery for trade in Russia. It was estimated that a third of the river trade was conducted along the Volga in the 19th century. In 1895, over 50% of the steamboats in Russia, 1,329 out of 2,539 were to be found on the Volga. Hartley also describes how goods were predominantly transported up the river Volga, south to north. These two pieces of information further explain what we observe in the epidemic map. We can clearly see how cholera did indeed diffuse from south to north, and we can begin to quantify the amount of human movement that was occurring along the river. If 50% of all steamboats were operating on the Volga, it is no wonder we see the majority of cholera cases occurring in this region. Thus, we reveal important qualities of connectedness, its compounding effects, and its unforeseen emergent behavior. Connectivity leads to trade. Trade leads to growth and prosperity. Prosperity leads to larger networks. Larger networks are exposed to more possible pathogens. Pathogens diffuse and are enhanced by the substrate of the network, water. Hartley can also give us insight into the speed of the epidemic. Quote, with steamships, the whole length could be accomplished in a matter of 5 to 7 weeks. This matches with Clemmow's observation of first case dates by region. Clemmow's data has June 18th as the first date cholera was recorded in Astrakhan. Just 3 months later, on September 19th, he records the first case of cholera in distant Radom, Poland, some 1,200 miles away. This demonstrates how the commercial incentive to increase the speed and ease of connectivity goes hand in hand with the unintended spread of pathogens. While we are describing events of the 19th century, the themes we are discussing and their corresponding networks extend into the 21st. For context, despite all the advancements in modern communication and transport, 4 out of 10 of Russia's largest cities are still on the Volga and its tributaries. Analogous to steamships in the 20th century, we saw how technology and commercial incentives enabled Russia to further increase its connectedness by building canals. they successfully connected the White Sea, Baltic, Volga, and Don to form one network. However, this was not without unintended consequences. This time, instead of spreading pathogens, they spread pollutants, destroying the habitats of 70 native species, including the iconic beluga sturgeon. I think that the connectedness the Volga has provided Russia is best summed up by the phrase Volga Matushka, or Mother Volga. In a way that seems peculiarly Russian, the Volga has given and destroyed life on scales that are truly gargantuan. So far, we have used maps and historical data to examine how river systems formed vital connections across the vastness of Russian spaces, preventing them from becoming disjointed. However, out of this exploration arise new questions. We continue to discuss connectedness in quite a vague way. Wouldn't it be great if we could discuss it in a more quantitative manner? Surely this could lead us to a deeper understanding of Russian geospatial history. Beyond examining the physical connections between cities, it is worthwhile to begin describing connectedness mathematically. The maps we have seen so far consist of several 2D arrays stacked on top of each other. While this is a valuable way to visualize data, it doesn't describe the n dimensions and complex patterns of causation present in the real world. A paper I encountered during my research points the direction to an even deeper understanding of the cholera epidemic. Titled A Graph Theoretic Approach to Historical Geography, this paper aims to use topology to quantify some of our intuitive notions about the advantages which central position provides. Specifically, the author Forrest R. Pitts uses graph theory to generate a connectivity array of 12th to 13th century Russian trade networks. Of the 30 cities in his data set, he found that Moscow had the second highest connectivity index in the entire empire, justifying its geographical significance mathematically. I think this would be a fascinating direction for further inquiry with the cholera data set, especially if data on train routes and river distances were added. I can just imagine how interesting it would be to simulate the spread of disease across the Volga. Now, I've also decided to include my artistic statement just because I cover some topics in it that I think expand on what I've already said and hopefully give more detail. So in the podcast segment, I tried to take the reader down a more narrow path of my thoughts and research on the subject while maintaining a more conversational style. Here, I've included an expanded version of some of my thinking and creative process. If it's not already clear by now, I feel that viewing maps and making maps are the essential tools that allow me to process the complexity of history. When studying history, it's impossible to remember every single little detail, so maps are a great way to generate an abstract model in your head. Along this line of thinking, I've been interested in finding more quantitative ways of describing spatial history, and in particular using math to describe history. Additionally, I really like working in multimedia because I think it helps form further associations with the subject material. That's why I've used various combinations of ArcGIS, Adobe Illustrator, and hand drawing. In order to get at this idea of connectedness between Russian cities, I wanted to create a total abstraction from the details on the map and express the role of the Volga as a connector in a graph. So as any good map nerd would, I decided to make the subway map of the Volga and its tributaries with major cities as stations. What I like about subway maps is that they are largely topological. They care about objects in relation to each other, adjacency, intersection. If we look at the mathematical definition of connectedness, it is, quote, a topological space is said to be connected if it is not the union of two disjoint non-empty sets. That's a lot of jargon, but in other words, an abstract space is formed when two or more sets are connected. Once again, an abstract space is formed when two or more sets are connected. I suppose I see an analogy between this definition and many of my attempts to understand Russian history. I often find myself asking, what geographical features keep the distant cities of Moscow and Perm from being disjointed? What connective tissue joins the set of cities that is European Russia and the set of cities that is Siberian Russia? What allows them to form Russian topological space? My musings on this topic aside, writing the script caused me to think of maps of Remezov, fundamentally, I think they are topological, or they have topological characteristics, because he doesn't care so much about true distances as much as he cares about the relation of objects to each other. For example, his map of Lake Baikal is more about understanding the relative positions of tributaries. If you compare it to a satellite photo of Lake Baikal, I mean, it's totally erroneous. Anyway, this made me realize that even though we live in this age of computers, for the most part, we don't think in the perfect coordinates of ArcGIS. Very accurate maps with sharp lines and clean visualizations have become the predominant medium of mapping. While these maps have value, this also makes me a little sad, because I feel that as mappers and historians, we have lost this more associative notion of space that comes from drawing things by hand. That's why, purely for my own enjoyment, I decided to make like Remizov and draw a map of the Volga. My tracing is definitely more spatially accurate than his Siberian sketchbook, but I did embrace his practice of eschewing north-south orientation and instead chose to orient my map towards the mouth of the Volga at Astrakhan. Thanks for listening to my podcast. It's been a pleasure. Hal, signing out.